easiest way to remember us is just 99.1 FM Talk.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. And you know what, John? We need to start off the 10 o'clock hour with something good. And I'm talking about food from Bite Me Food Truck. We have
something good, finally.
Yeah. Well something other than your morbid your morbid comments about the Jewish festival.
Well, I was in a mood. The Bite Me Food Truck is coming to the Reno Public Market.
It's coming sometime.
Yes. And Bite Me, Mr. Bite Me is here.
Yes, we've got Richard Todd, who is the owner of Bite Me Food Truck. Richard, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, so let's talk about Bite Me Food Truck, because it was kind of an interesting story on how we even came to know each other, really, is we had the Elm Estates on here a few weeks back, and you were doing a live event at the Elm Estates. And I met you there, started looking at your menu, and man, I just got to tell you, that thing blew me away. What inspired this menu?
What dish?
Well, you know what? I want to say it was the salmon. You have a salmon burger?
I have a shrimp slider burger.
Shrimp slider burger. That's what it was. It was the shrimp slider burger.
Well, you're famous for trash can fries. What the heck? The trash can fries.
Gosh, these things are so good.
So we were out at, we did Night in the Country.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, it was good.
I got to ask, what was the big hit with the country folk there?
It was the trash can.
It was actually the trash can once.
And you fed Tracy Lawrence, I heard.
I fed all the headliners every night.
Did you meet them?
No, we didn't meet them, but,
okay.
But we did feed them.
Tracy Lawrence eating trash can fries.
Well, you know what? I got two orders of trash can fries from him the night that I met him there at the Elm Estates. And, man, me and my kids, we sat up all night trying to finish him.
Why do you name it trash can fries?
So what happened was is our good friend came up to the food truck at Night in the Country.
Yeah.
And I do the smoked mac and cheese.
Mm.
And all of a sudden he wanted pulled pork and barbecue sauce on his mac and cheese.
Okay.
And I said, okay. So then it just clicked. And my son, Kyle, actually brought this up a couple weeks ago. He was, because he's the loaded fry guy. He just comes up with all the mixtures and stuff. And I was just like thinking, okay, so let's think of a special that we can run and with our loaded fries. So basically, it's our fries, it's our cheese, our smoked mac and cheese, our pulled pork, barbecue sauce, bacon.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Brown, so it's like your
sweet onions.
Everything but the kitchen sink.
Exactly.
Why couldn't you say that instead of trash can fries?
Right, yeah.
Well, it's pretty much where it winds up in being is everything but the trash can.
I heard you guys set up outside the Rise Cannabis dispensary. Brilliant, sir. Brilliant.
We have been there a couple times, yes.
That is right. Yeah, you know what? Your wife told me about that.
Mm-hmm.
That is smart. That's as smart as the Girl Scout cookies being set up outside. But, you know, let's talk about this, though, Richard, because what I thought was one of the most cool parts about you was your story, just in general, and how you took a leap at doing this truck after many years of contemplating it, didn't even have some sickness in the family and stuff too as well, and it just kind of all accumulated to where you're at today. Tell us a little bit about your journey, about you, your family, and what started all this.
So owning a restaurant has always been a dream of mine, and back in 2010 it came the opportunity to where me and my wife could go to Le Cordon Bleu cooking school in Sacramento. So that's what we did. We went through that course and, you know, in the hopes of opening a food truck or a restaurant or something.
Right.
And, a couple years ago, my wife got sick.
Right.
With stage 4 lymphoma. And, she beat it. Thank God.
Thank God.
Great.
And, she's doing great now.
She is. And she's a firecracker too.
Oh yes, she is. And it just it she just pushed me and said, you know, life, you just got to do it. You got to find a way to do what you want to do.
You're never guaranteed tomorrow. So exactly. take it by the horns while you got it, I guess, right?
Was it easier than you thought to do? I mean, listen, I've heard people say the same thing. I'm thinking about having a food truck, or I'm thinking about having a restaurant. What misconceptions do people have about that? I mean, what would they be surprised at, or what surprised you setting this whole thing up?
Set up his food truck on the wrong corner from Johnny No Thumbs or something.
Yeah.
Tick him off.
What?
You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you don't want to set up on the wrong corner and upset the wrong person.
Right. I can tell you it is a lot of work. It's just a lot of work. I was trying to do it with my full-time job that I had.
Oh, I see.
I've always worked.
Yeah.
So...
look a bit tired. Still.
So I've been doing my full-time job, doing the food truck on nights and weekends. No days off, because the days off that I do have, I'm prepping.
God bless you.
And finally, August 31st, I quit my full-time job to do this full-time.
And it's working out.
It's working out.
So the misconception is people think it's not going to be that hard, and it really, really
is. It
is.
You
know, the next time we see him, he's not going to be this tired. He's going to be more relaxed, and
right,
he can see that lining at the end of the.
You know those yellow and black books that are published. They have a Running a Food Truck for Dummies book.
Mm-hmm.
You know about this?
I've actually published
Running a
What?
Food Truck for Dummies book. Google it. It's there.
I thought it was like Quicken for Dummies. And
do they have one?
People think of doing this.
Do they have one that says radio show host for Dummies?
I've not read it, but I have seen it.
Oh, stop it, Craig.
Craig, radio show host. Our producer's asking. He's heckling us in our ear, asking if there's a radio show host for Dummies book.
Oh, no, I was on the air. No. I said it on the air.
Oh, yeah, he did say it on the air. Okay.
Can't stop him.
I
heard a wild horde of hungry locals in Fernley cleaned you out.
Last weekend, they did.
You go out that far?
I do.
Well, you went out to Yerington.
We're planning on it.
Is there some rule that says you can't? Because I've noticed this. No food trucks have parked outside schools. And I'll tell you what. The great migration of students happens around noon every day. I know for a fact at Reno High and Reed High, you wouldn't believe the hordes of students going across like Bering Boulevard, and they're going to like A&W, the fast food restaurants are going to Godfather's Pizza, the Reno High. I don't remember that back in the day, but can you take advantage of that? And maybe if your food is at least healthier, not to knock the fast food restaurants.
There is a strategy, John, and I just got to point this out real quick. And the reason that they probably would have to set up across the street or something, they couldn't go to the actual school, because at school, if you're a student who leaves during school time or during lunchtime, you have to leave. You can't hang out in your car. You can't hang out on campus. You have to leave. So once you leave and go into the parking lot, you have to exit the school for the lunch. You can't just hang out in your car.
Well, I'm just, from what I see, there are a lot of walkers, and they come in crowds.
Well, yeah. Set up across
to the pizza place.
So the main thing is wherever you park, you have to have permission from either the owner of the business or the owner of the parking lot.
So you'd have to get permission from the school.
Exactly.
And can you get that? Or is it policy against?
Some schools do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know TMCC has a food truck day.
Is your is it regulated with the school meals that Michelle Obama wanted?
No.
No, okay. I didn't think so.
Much better.
So the Reno Public Market, what are you going to have there when it finally opens? And now they say the day is November 10th to open that. What are you going to have there?
Okay, so the way they're doing their vendors is you cannot serve the same food as another vendor.
Right.
So we are only going to be doing our loaded fries and our mac and cheese. We cannot do our sliders.
You're going to have a stand there, right?
Yep, where I was stalled.
And it's a permanent stand, mm-hmm. so you're always going to be there in this Reno public market.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I got to just real quick to just kind of go over this, because I guess with this Reno public market and you not being able to serve the same thing as other people, you've got to kind of stand out with something special on your menu or interesting, right? Right. I just wanted to kind of go over real quick a couple of these things on the menu with you, because I took a picture of your menu when I was there with you that day. I was like, yeah, this is just the coolest thing ever. He's got the Ringer Burger, which is basically the Slater's 50-50 burger, if you know about that, which is a 50-50 mixture of beef and bacon. And that's got bacon alloy, spring mix, tomato, red onion, bacon, bourbon, jam, and... Yeah. bacon. Oh, I want that.
What a combination.
The Mardi Gras, which is the shrimp patty, lemon, garlic, spicy cabbage slaw with bacon, brochet bun. The Hog Wild, which is smoked pork, coleslaw drizzled in barbecue sauce. The Angry Bird, that's crispy buffalo. And then you said the loaded fries, right? Those are the ones that you're going to be serving over at
Trash Can Fries.
Yeah, Trash Can. They have the Dream Fries, which are tri-tip, basically. Shrimp, bacon, shredded cheese, cheese sauce, lemon, garlic. I mean... The Rodeo Fries, which basically are the marinated smoked tri-tip bacon. There's Jubilee Fries, there's Pig Pen Fries, Bonfire Fries, Hometown. What did you bring for us to try today? Are there fries here?
So, for the loaded fries, I brought you the Dream Fry.
Oh, okay.
I brought you the Ringer Sliders, the Mardi Gras Sliders, and the Angry Bird.
Oh,
the
my
Angry
gosh.
Bird. Sir, did you...
You've got to try the Mardi Gras. You have to try the Mardi Gras, because that's the shrimp patty that we were telling you about.
Have you heard of celebrities having their own food trucks?
No.
No. Did you hear? Angela Lansbury has a food truck. It's called Burger, She Wrote. Did you know
Burger,
that?
She Wrote? Oh, my
did
gosh.
Did you know Brad Pitt has one?
What's this?
It's called Bread Pitt. It just bakes bread. Did you hear Taylor Swift has a food truck?
What's that?
Oh, God.
It sells French fries. It's called Tater Swift. You didn't hear about this?
That's no. Not so Swift, John. Anyway,
it's food truck humor. The I food guess, truck guys pass you, these jokes
have
among
you heard
themselves.
Any of those, Richard?
I have not, but those are good.
There you go. Well, you're gonna have to tell those to people there at the public
So how
market.
Did you pick the name Bite Me? I guess somebody said that to you.
It was actually
Did you just throw your phone down
I
the
did,
hallway?
That was
so funny. I'm sitting here watching a camera of the studio, and the hand reaches around the door and throws it out in the hall.
He's got a camera.
No, there is a news bloopers reel, and that totally reminded me of it. I think it's like a Filipino news broadcast where the guy's just straightforward laced, and the phone starts going off, and he just throws it.
Now it's ringing.
Now it's ringing in the hallway.
Just kick it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry about this, sir.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Off the food I thought truck I shut tire the thing rails. Off.
I just went and did the 20-yard dash down the hall, grabbed his phone for him, because it's not. Listen, I've even had my own phone go off during this program, and I should know better. Well, so don't worry.
I thought I had it shut
Hey, at
off.
Least we're getting a caller, John.
So the next stop with a lot of food trucks is, are you thinking of opening a restaurant and going the building route? Besides the public market stand?
Not at this point. We're going to see how the public market goes.
All right.
And then go from there.
Okay.
Awesome. Where can people go to find out about your products and where you're going to be at? Is there a Facebook page or Instagram or website?
All our social media is Bite Me Food Truck NV.
Mm-hmm.
NV?
Yep. That's Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff.
I really thought food trucks would take over during the pandemic. You know, restaurants closed, a real tragedy. But you'd think the food trucks would have really just taken over their place with the outdoors dining. Were you out in full force during the pandemic?
No, we opened up in May.
Okay.
You know, one thing to talk about too with the food trucks is that you have to get permits for each of these jurisdictions you go out to. That's not easy. Like Sparks, Reno, Washoe County, Lyon County, Story County, all of them. Even the Nevada business license. I mean, this isn't easy when you get into a food truck, man. Like, you just go park the truck out somewhere and start selling.
No.
Like your neighborhood taqueria. This is serious stuff.
Every city, you have to get a business license, health department for that area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got you covered, man, down in Smith and Mason Valley in Yerington. Go see my buddy Steve at the Chamber of Commerce. He'll get you hooked up.
Oh, we're set up for Yerington.
Okay.
We're going to be down there November 4th, I think it is.
Well, congratulations about your awesome chicken sliders that I hear about, and your mac and cheese.
Well, you're about to try some, sir.
Yes,
I believe. And for the first time ever, these dream fries. I was just taking a look at what these have. Shrimp. I've never had shrimp on fries. We're about to try something new. I've had shrimp before on grits, which I thought was weird.
Oh, he's writing that down now.
I am.
He's thinking that.
Yeah. Anyways.
You're a madman, sir.
Well, Richard Todd, thank you so much for coming in this morning. This has been awesome, and we're going to continue to be with you through your journey, man. And I'm definitely going to come down there and check out some more of those fries at the Reno Public Market when they finally open.
Right.
We'll get a date, and we'll let you know. All right, folks, we're going to be right back with, somebody who's going to be a Guinness Book World Record holder as of Monday evening. I'm talking about St. John Smith.
The 30 on 30 for 30 challenge.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about it next right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
Oh, check it out. Today is 99 days till Christmas, Jay. And by the way, the Kitski Walmart thinks you want to put up your Christmas tree and eat turkey while wearing a Halloween costume. I got that impression. Valentine card's not in yet. Sorry.
I could totally see that. I could see that. Anyways.
99 days, though.
I thought you were going to say 99 degrees, but 99 days. Yeah, it is. Wow. Stop reminding me. I've got to start saving, I guess. Either ways, it's live and local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. Don't forget you can join us on Facebook. Also, we have a podcast you can join and check out about an hour after each show ends, each and every Saturday at 991fmtalk.com if you go there and click the podcast tab. But in studio with us right now, once again, as I promised, we were going to have him back in just a couple days before he attempts a world record on Monday. It's the 30 on 30 for 30 with St. John Smith. Welcome back in, sir.
Thank you, Jay.
And so how confident are you this is going to happen, man?
Extremely confident.
I like that.
I was able to achieve a third of this goal in just 5 hours. And I have 24 hours to try to make this happen. So I believe I'm going to exceed. So long as my body holds out, I believe I will exceed.
Is this a challenge for you or for everybody to try?
Well, it's a personal challenge, but I'm sure I'm going to be setting this bar. I'm going to try to set this bar very high, and if it becomes an official Guinness World Record, which is the intention, then I'm sure somebody will want to try to break it.
Right. Well, that's what happens. Anytime you come up with something good, someone's going to try to
I assume
imitate.
It was you exercise for 30 minutes for 30 days or something like that.
A brief history. So last year in August, I accomplished 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats every day for 30 days as fast as I could. And then this March, I thought, what if I could do that in 24 hours on my 30th birthday to raise $30,000 for my nonprofit?
Yeah. And what's the nonprofit again?
The nonprofit is Green Vibe World. We're a local grassroots environmental organization. We have held 24 community cleanups in the local Reno area and are approaching 100,000 pounds of trash removed from the Truckee River, surrounding lands, and Lake Tahoe included.
You must like exercise, right?
I love it.
I wish I could outsource my exercise. I'm just...
This guy will do it for you. He does enough exercise for all of us.
Could you do it for me?
You might not get the results you're looking for, but... I might.
Right. That's true. So, St. John, what's your eating schedule and stuff like? Are you on a strict diet right now? Like, you can't touch any of this Bite Me food truck stuff that's in front of us?
I'm not going to touch any of that Bite Me food truck food, even though it smells delicious. Not until next week. Right. Overall, even when I'm not competing or training extensively for something, I have a fairly strict diet, just meat, organs, and fruit. Dairy, some dairy, a lot of fermented.
You said
foods.
Organs?
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody say that.
And how do you cook it? Like super grilling or?
No. They're not a huge percentage of my diet. I'll consume raw liver and then I'll consume heart and I really like kidney and.
So tell me about these organs. How do you get the pipes down?
how do I get the pipes down? Yeah. Like, how do I get it down?
Get the pipe. The organ pipes.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah,
it was a John Potter joke.
That was pretty good.
I failed
it.
I have no association.
I was thinking like the trachea or something.
I have no association with that joke.
One corny joke and John Potter's done with me.
Yeah.
I hear Kamala. That's Kamala Harris right there.
Yeah, local farms as much as possible. I really pay attention to agriculture and support local as much as I possibly can.
Right. Now, it's a very interesting thing I asked you earlier, because I know how a lot of these, because you were an MMA fighter, and you know, I know a lot of these guys who do competitions for bodybuilding, they are on that strict diet leading up to it.
Yes.
And I asked you, I said, what are you going to have to eat? What's the first thing you're going to go indulge in? You said Wagyu beef.
Yes.
Steak, right?
Yes, that was the goal.
And then Wagyu, not from Capriotti's. We're talking the real stuff.
I'm talking the real stuff. From Butcher Boy.
Oh, yeah.
So how much more do you have to do to break the world's record?
Well, I'm actually going to be setting it. As far as I could find within the Guinness application process.
Yeah.
It's pretty extensive, and you have to make sure that if you're attempting to set a world record, that it has never been done. So I searched through the database pretty extensively, never found what I'm personally trying to attempt.
And which is, again, what?
The most pull-ups, push-ups, and squats in 24 hours.
Wow. And
so it's all separate. There's tons of different records with pull-ups individually, push-ups individually, squats
and
individually.
And you try to hit this record every day?
Oh, no. Okay. My training regimen has been accomplishing 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats in many different ways, whether that be through speed or as few sets as possible, for example. And then as of August, I started implementing my long duration of training hours, like once per week. So I was starting at, I went from 1 hour to 2 hours to 3 hours. And then I tried a 4 hour attempt. My body hurt, but then I was able to jump to a 5 hour attempt the very next week. And that's as far as I've gotten so far. But I was able to hit 1,000 pull-ups, 1,800 push-ups, and 3,000 squats in 5 hours.
When are you going to stop? When it takes 6 hours?
When 24 hours is up. I'm going to go for the full 24 hours. All That's right. My goal.
The best of luck to you.
And this is all to support nature. This is all to support our nonprofit, Green Vibe. We believe we're doing great things for the environment and for our local community, to giving people opportunity to take action within their community, within our beautiful community.
And with that being said, too, if there's anybody out there who, let's say they have like a food truck or you have like a vendor booth or something that wants to get involved with you guys, right, you are looking.
I mean, yes, we are pretty much full. The event, the 30 on 30 for 30 challenge fundraiser is happening in 2 days on Monday from 3 to 8 p.m. at the Reno Academy of Combat, 1410 East Prater Way. We have two food vendors and a coffee shop that has tons of food within the building.
And
yeah, it's amazing. Crazy Bean Coffee, shout out to them. Gonna plug as much as I can. Reno Academy of Combat.
Those are the homies, right?
That's right.
Sinjin, it was great seeing you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Likewise.
All right, well, congratulations to you for setting that world record, but we want to as well send out the most positive vibes possible to you, that everything works out, that you hold that record. You don't just set it. You hold it for a long, long time.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to be right back. We have got Chef Jacob from the Shore at Marriott coming on with us, John. He's going to talk some more food. I've talked so much food this morning, all I can smell is food. Now we're going to talk even more food. It's coming up next right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. KKFT.
99.1 FM Talk, Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 is where you can find us on your radio dial, but you can also find us on Facebook, and you can stream us live 24/7, 365 at 991fmtalk.com.
John Potter and Jay Biggs, Chef Jacob Burton is a graduate of the California Culinary Academy in San Francisco. He worked at a Michelin star restaurant there. Now head chef at the Shore Room restaurant at the downtown Marriott Renaissance. Mm. They make everything from scratch. You even bake your own potato buns.
We
for
do.
The TSR hamburger, which is my wife's favorite.
The TSR hamburger?
TSR. It's on the happy hour menu. Served by bartender Todd there, and that's why I invited you.
Yeah. What is the TSR? I just got to ask that. What does TSR mean?
The showroom.
TSR. Stands for the showroom, yeah.
An awesome hamburger deserves a lot of publicity.
Oh, thank you.
But you have quite a story, and I guess for 15 years you've had this YouTube channel.
Yes, yeah.
Where you have your own show of cooking and...
Yeah, when I first started out, when I was, I was a sous chef at the time, there was just a lack of information as far as professional cooking goes out there. This is way back in the day, like in, 2008. And so I had just bought my first Mac, and I'd always, it's fun being here because I've always been interested in radio broadcasting. So I created a podcast called Free Culinary School, where I basically taught people.
Free what school?
It's called Free Culinary School. And it later got.
Corner?
Culinary.
Oh, culinary.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
he said coroner school. Yeah. He's on a mortuary. He's a, believe me, he's Three thinking corners. About mortuary stuff today.
Yeah, I'm in one of those moods.
So the whole point was, let's teach people who love to cook the professional techniques that they don't normally get to see when they pick up a normal cookbook or a recipe book. And I've been doing that for years. It slowly evolved into a video techniques I release on YouTube, and that gained a following over time. And it was really important for my development as a chef as well, because it forced me to dive really deep into the hows and whys of cooking, and to explain to people, this is why we do something. This is the food science behind it, not, oh, because, some chef one time showed me how to do it, and this is the only way to do it.
So you're well known from that outside.
How many subscribers do you have?
On YouTube, about 170,000.
It's not bad at all.
Do you want to? Wow. I guess you're a celebrity chef then?
I wouldn't say that. I kind of like flying under the radar. It's nice because for me, the putting myself out there was never about the celebrity of it. It was, number one, educating people. And it really started as a resource for young cooks in the industry. And it was a really fast way for me to teach me when I got a new cook. Go watch my knife skill series. Go listen to my podcast on how to make stocks. And it grew from there. And it's definitely nice because you have an audience that you can reach out to at any moment and, sell a wine dinner to, or, so it gives you some fluidity with that.
Who's your favorite celebrity chef?
I mean, a guy who holds a special place in my heart is Thomas Keller of the French Laundry.
Yes.
I remember when I first started culinary school, I was super broke, living in San Francisco, and I had a stack of like old cookbooks. And they had a corner store in San Francisco where you can go and trade cookbooks in and, get new ones. And so I took down like 10 cookbooks, and they gave me a $25 credit towards a $50 Thomas Keller French Laundry cookbook, which had just come out. And I scrounged the other $25. And I remember the first time flipping through it, I was just, my mind was blown. I'd never seen food so elegant and beautiful. And I thought that that was just the pinnacle of cuisine. And he's upheld just these amazing, and he has one of the greatest pedigrees as far as lineages. I mean, so many well-known chefs today, like Grant Achatz and Ron Siegel and Corey Lee, they all started off in the French Laundry kitchen.
We missed French that. Laundry.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he met Gavin Newsom during the pandemic.
He sure did.
You see, we didn't have any of these celebrity chefs when I was growing up. You know how it is when you go out on your own, you get your first apartment, mom gives you your first cookbook because you're branching out on your own. You know who the biggest celebrity chef was back when I went out on my own and my mother gave me the cookbook? Betty Crocker.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Betty Crocker cookbook.
You know, those old Betty Crocker cookbooks have really, really solid recipes in it because the people that are buying them, they wouldn't put up with failed recipes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bread books is a 1950s copy of the Woman's Day Bread Baking Book, and their recipes are solid. They have great recipes in there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite knife? You said you did a YouTube episode on
knife. It's funny. I have a lot of, probably like 50 videos on different knife
particular
skills.
Particular brand that you're I thought all chefs swore by their certain knife or something.
Yeah,
Ginsu.
I'll rock a Ginsu.
There you go.
I'll rock a Cutco. That's the funny thing is so when you're a chef, you have a knife in your hand for a large majority of the day. So, if there's a specific knife that you really like, then I encourage people to splurge on it. But really, it's all about a sharp edge. And what's funny is, so when I do these, culinary boot camps, which are these intensive, hands-on training courses I do, people show up with these beautiful knives that they bought, Japanese steel and $400 a blade.
Oh, my gosh.
But they've been kicking around in their drawers at home for years, and they don't have an edge, and they may as well just be, you know, a $20 knife from Costco. So really, when people start really getting into knife skills, I always recommend spending the money on a knife sharpening system. You know, and it's going to cost you a couple $100, and they have ones with, like, different angle guides on it. And that's what's going to keep your edge really sharp. Because if you give me a sharp knife, I can make it look like $1,000 because I'm using the appropriate technique. I know how to hold it. I know how to use my guide hand. I have the muscle memory to cut through an onion really fast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I ever retire, I might do the state fair circuit and sell some Cutcos.
Well, it's like an extension of your hand, really.
It really is, yeah.
I mean, the knife is all important mm-hmm. to y'all. So what do you recommend? What brand name?
You know, I really like Wusthof's. Wusthof's are just a good German knife. Also,
Wusthof's.
Yeah, Wusthof. And then there's a knife company called Mundahl, which they started off as a German knife company, and they moved to Brazil because the steel is much cheaper there. So you can get a solid, like off of Amazon, a solid $50, $70 10-inch chef's knife from Mundahl. Great German steel, great edge, holds its edge for a while. And, you know, it's going to be equivalent to a $150, $200 German chef knife.
Can you imagine, Jay, knives running up $400? And I looked knife sharpeners.
Yeah.
They've gone totally high end.
Well,
oh, yeah.
For food, I maybe can't imagine, but I've seen my kid has those throwing knives, mm-hmm. you know, that the people using, yeah, those can run you a couple hundred, $300 sometimes. So I could imagine, you know, if you're trying to get something, a good work tool, you know, it's like a construction worker, right? You don't want to just go with the cheapest tool, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, and there's a certain amount that's like a flex, right? Like, oh, I got this knife, right? But what's funny is that the higher the knives get, like the more finicky they are. Like, you got to oil them and make sure they're not wet, and you know they'll rust on you. And
now you brought up something earlier. You have the muscle memory to cut an onion,
mm-hmm.
and so just end this debate right here. How do you not cry when you cut an onion? Is it just underwater?
Nope, sharp knife.
Sharp knife.
Yeah, so actually the cellular structure in onions and alliums, which is like your onion, garlic, you know, family, so they basically have two chemicals that when crushed, they mix together and release something similar to mustard gas, right, which is what makes your eyes tear up because they all propagate by the bulb. So when you pull an onion from the ground, it's not able to actually reproduce another generation.
Right.
So as its defense mechanism, when you bite into it as an animal, it basically releases mustard gas, which makes your eyes tear up and gives you that sharp, you know, feeling.
The onion figured that out?
I mean, I guess. So if you use a sharp knife, you'll slice through the cellular structure of the onion and you won't cry. But if you have a dull knife, you'll crush it, and you'll see too, because when you cut, you'll hear that little chunking sound, like the crunching sound, and then you can see the onion cuts they start to bleed a little bit and start to bruise and discolor, and your knife's dull and you're crying.
I didn't know this. I thought it was you just cut it underwater.
Yeah,
and that's
dull knives cause tears.
Wow, man. Okay, so Chef Jacob, tell me this: if you were told that Gordon Ramsay was coming to your restaurant and you had to serve him one dish, what would you consider your specialty, your one definite home run you're going to just blow him away with?
You know, that's the thing is people always ask you, like, what's your signature dish? And I like to evolve my dishes over time. I don't like to let anything kind of hang on the menu for too long. Unless you have something like a burger that's just there to serve a purpose and kind of fill a hole.
Right.
But really, when I've had the pleasure of serving, you know, really good chefs over the years, and they're always the most fun because they understand what's going on. They understand the dynamics of the menu. So what I would probably do is I would hit them with what we call just a love bomb, right? Where normally if an industry person comes in, you grab just all your best apps, start dropping them. So we hit them with some, you know, charred octopus and some lamb lollipops, our laffa bread that we stretch and grill to order.
You
some
have
nice
all
spreads.
This at the shore.
Yep, we have all this at the shore. So, and when I go out to eat, that's usually how I like to experience a restaurant because especially in traditional dining, your entrees are more composed. You have, you know, your 7 to 8 ounces of meat and your starch and your veg, and it's meant to fill you up. When you create a dish that's not meant to fill you up, like in a tasting menu or a small plates menu, you can be a little bit more fun with the flavor structures and be a little more playful. So those are where I find most chefs, you can kind of understand what they're doing and how they approach their food.
Well, Jay brought up Gordon Ramsay. What's your take on these kitchen reality shows the kitchen nightmares and the restaurant impossible and all that. Is it tell the truth? Is it like that?
No, I mean, a lot of it, I mean, especially modern days, you know, it builds on sort of that stigma of the angry chef and the intense kitchen. And there's definitely that, you know, I mean, coming up, you know, working in, you know, French fry and dining, it gets pretty rough and tumble. And there's a certain amount of it where it's almost like a military boot camp, right? Because if you think chef coming down on you hard because your mise en place isn't set up properly, you don't have your ingredients set for service, you think that's hard. By the time you're an executive chef and you have all these bad habits that haven't been broken, you're going to be in for a world of misery. But for me personally, I don't really
You don't watch them?
No. I don't watch them. It's just, they're not for me, right? They're not produced for me. They're produced for the general public for entertainment value. Okay. For me, if I wanted to watch like a cooking show, it would be like a super geeky, you know, food science show.
Well, I love watching the baking shows, the British baking shows.
My daughter loves those.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. My daughter, she's 16 and sits there and watches those, and I love them. Those are pretty fun.
Yeah, and our baking and pastry chef, Kevin Futamachi, he's been on Chopped Desserts a couple of times and won, and he's super talented as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I really want to talk about the restaurant and your grilled romaine and your all-you-can-drink mimosas.
Okay.
After the break, can we talk about the Shoreroom restaurant, Chef Jacob?
All right, stick around. So we're going to do that. Stick around with us right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. We're going to be right back with Chef Jacob once again from the Shore at the Marriott.
Live, local FM Talk, KKFT, for Smith & Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
It's always live, it's always local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. I want to make sure you go and join us on Facebook. Just look up Live and Local with John and Jay, or you can just look up facebook.com/onairconversations.
We're with Chef Jacob Burton from the Shoreroom Restaurant at the Marriott Renaissance downtown Reno. The Caesar salad, the romaine is grilled, right? Right alongside the Truckee River, outside if the weather's good. What's your favorite dish to make? The one that you hope that people order?
It's usually a seasonal dish that we have going on. So right now, the heirloom tomatoes are peaking, and it's, you know, people think of heirloom tomatoes as this summer crop, and it is. You'll get them in, you know, late June, early July. But the Sacramento Delta, when they have their, you know, their tomatoes that take 110, 120 days to mature, they start hitting right now in September, and they are absolutely insanely good. So we'll get those, you know, shipped up to, you know, from Sacramento, and a little bit of whipped burrata. We do a dehydrated olive oil, which is just basically taking olive oil and mixing it with a really lightweight tapioca starch that dissolves on your tongue as soon as it hits any sort of moisture, right? So you get this sensation of just this really high-end olive oil coating your palate, but it also doesn't pool all over the plate. And, you know, that with some whipped burrata.
Oh, my God.
It's just, it's basically a, you know, our play on a caprese, just taking the ingredients, turning them up a little bit.
This is what you hope people are. I was thinking you were going to say something like grilled cheese or something.
I love a good grilled cheese, too.
But a Caesar with grilled romaine, and you put grapes in your Caesar. Mm-hmm.
I've
never heard of that before.
So the grape play is all about umami, right? So you have, you know, your basic building blocks of flavor, sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and then umami. And there's different ingredients that have various umami ingredients in it. And a good Caesar salad is all about umami. The dressing is about umami, right?
Chef Jacob, $18 unlimited mimosas for 1 hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the current record there from a customer?
Oh, I prefer not to say because I hate to encourage people.
I guess you're right.
Endless mimosas for an hour?
$18 for 1 hour, unlimited mimosas. Yep. Is that just on Sunday or?
Nope. So one of the things that I love about the Shore is we serve brunch 7 days a week, because we also, I mean, when I'm on vacation, I'm a late riser, right? Mm-hmm. And nothing perturbs me more than when I walk down to the restaurant in the hotel and like, it's 10:30. You missed breakfast by 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, so we serve breakfast till 2:00. We do bottomless mimosas from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. every single day. And I'm really, really proud of our brunch menu. Everything is made from scratch. We have a beautiful chicken fried steak that we start with an 8-ounce Durham Ranch flat iron. We hand needle it and flatten it. We soak it in buttermilk marinade overnight. We flour it and fry it to order. And you know, we make our gravy from scratch, our hollandaise from scratch. So the brunch program for me holds a real special place in my heart because I love brunch. It's a thing that I do with my family a lot. And being right there on the river, downtown Truckee, sitting on the patio, it's just, there's nothing better.
I bet you do an awesome Mother's Day, don't you?
We do a fantastic Mother's Day. Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
you, sir, are a god.
I don't know about that.
Brunch every single day. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm there every Sunday at about 3, hanging out with the bartender, Todd, and my wife orders your burger every single
time.
So it's awesome to see you here.
And if you ever want to get an autograph from John, you know where to find
him. I'll be there Sunday at 3. I'll set up a booth.
Oh, my gosh. How good was that? Well, Chef Jacob, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having me. Getting
to know you and your experiences and talk about food. And, of course, we have got more coming on the show this next hour. Amanda Bloodworth, property manager, is going to be in here with her husband, Josh, to talk about all sorts of good, fun stuff.
They rent out properties, and she's an amazing personality.
Yeah, definitely. Just check her Facebook out. William Clark, Nevada North State Medical Clinic, is going to be in with us a little bit later as well. But stick around.
Pop doc, right?
No, don't call him that. He'll tell you that. It's coming on right here on 99.1 FM Talk. And Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.